It was a fast process. My agent was telling me teams were interested. You know, once the number got to a certain point, a lot of teams like dropped out. The Patriots were the one that wanted me the most. So I made a priority to come here. They made me a priority. And they value what I bring to the table as far as being a versatile player on the D-line, a leader, a hard worker, and yeah, they believed in me, so I'm trying to give it back to them as much as I can.
I tell you what, nothing screams money more than, hey, they kept saying it, and they kept coming up with more money. KJWEEI 617-779-7937. That is the newest Patriot and the richest, Milton Williams. Part of that great defensive line in Philadelphia where it's just been churning out like a factory. Like, they're like, Montez Sweat is gone too, right? So, when Milton Williams was signed, there's a person that came to mind. I just said, oh, I really hope I don't have this thought. Raise your hands if you remember when Albert Haynesworth decided to come play for the Patriots. They gave him all the money he wanted. Remember, for those who remember, they gave him all the money he wanted. And this really kind of goes down as the one huge mistake Belichick made, but because it was early and more great things happened, good things tend to fade away the bad things. But now, it feels like this defense, whose identity has always been in the collective, now seems to start to have some individualism to them, and that is a concern. See, because for me, Milton Williams is part of a great group of guys. The question is, are we buying the solo album? I mean, think about it. Would you buy a Hall & Oates record if it was just John Oates on the album? I mean, look, Jay Giles, local guys, but if Peter Wolfe isn't singing lead, Led Zeppelin up there without Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin featuring KJ Carson, yeah, that thing's going to be about as hollow as a middle schooler's field hockey game. The Lox without Jadakiss. I like that one right there. Foo Fighters without Dave Grohl, though Courtney Love might want that in her cabal reasons. Van Halen without David. Okay, that's a rough. But only one of those, in all those examples I gave, only one of those worked where you said, hey, the individualism we were able to replace and get the group back. That's my concern about Milton Williams. Just in that soundbite there, and that might be the second time I heard it. Hey, you know, I was literally hearing how high the number can go. Because what really baffled me was, due to the Twitter outage, it threw a lot of people off. But it looked like he was on his way to the Panthers. You're like, okay, the Panthers would give up a whole lot of money. They do need some type of lead singer. They'd have virtually no identity. Wouldn't make sense. The last minute's like, nah, let's go to the Patriots. Like, huh, individualism? I remember the situation with Albert Haynesworth where here he was a star in Tennessee, but don't worry, it had nothing to do with Vrabel. That's a Jeff Fisher thing. But just would not conform to the team. And sometimes that can happen. Probably the sport you see it happen the most is, I would probably say, the NBA. When a team wins a championship, guys splinter off, go to other places really to get checks. I mean, okay, Boston's different. But the point being is, once you get that championship ring, it happened a lot with those Chicago Bulls teams. Suddenly, because a guy wore a Bulls jersey for a year and a half, suddenly he was worth all this money. And I think this, like with Milton Williams, it's like, okay, yes, there can be success. Yes, the Patriots need to stop giving up 8 yards damn near on every run play. But can this guy be that single savior? Because the money they gave him is just absolutely crazy to think. Crazy to think. Because it's like, if you're going to be aggressive like that with Milton Williams and can get a yes, then how come you're not getting a yes from guys who are not considered Milton Williams at what they do? You can't get a yes from Cooper Kupp at 15? Was Milton Williams going to solve your offensive problems? Like, was the defense so bad? Like, KJ, I think the word you're looking for is overspend. Is this an overspend? Here's what I love about the New England fan base, and this, especially in football. Baseball, I would say, number two. Celtics, you don't have to worry about it. Bruins, it's almost kind of like, whew, fire sale wasn't so bad. Is if any name is available, whether it's on its ascension, descension, heck, John the Baptist could become a free agent. And we like, you got to get John the Baptist. He was right next to the Lord and Savior. I mean, if he can get back to those years before he had his head cut off, I mean, we could, the fans will go all in for a name brand to come to the franchise, Red Sox, Patriots, to make things work. So you're excited. So we're, people are excited. It's like, because Milton Williams was like, okay, yeah, man, he's from Philadelphia. They just won the Super Bowl and everything. It's like, but have you ever heard John Oates sing a lead song? I have. It doesn't work. I thought, you know, like, this is odd to me. That if Vrabel is supposed to be the chief, like, okay, if that's the case, then why not try and make a trade for Crosby before he gets signed? Like, did you, maybe you put the call into the Raiders. And I think that's the other part we have to take into account. You're not going to know everything about the attempt that the team made. And sometimes when you don't know everything of what the team's made as an attempt, because they don't have to release that information later, is by the people who say yeah. Because some of these guys have, you know, one agent may represent 15 players. So there's a conversation still with that one person. So you might say, hey, I want to talk. I'm interested in Crosby. Yeah, well, this is what it's going to take. Yeah, 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 but I can get you Milton Williams. I'm not saying they have the same agents. My point being is there's one gatekeeper usually to multiple players that you're talking to. Maybe, I don't know, probably 50 to 60 agents. I'd say less than 100 agents in the NFL for all the players. Right? It's not like one player, one agent. So when you get in these conversations, it's almost kind of like, yeah, we know you want to buy this on the menu, but here's what you can get. And it feels like Milton Williams is like, here's what you can get. And it would excite people. It's kind of like the Walker Buehler deal, except for Walker Buehler, you'll find out after a year. Milton Williams, you're going to have to stick to this for a few years. And if it doesn't take, that money's cashed. And that's the concern. Like, he's just like, well, we were seeing who wanted me. And then Patriots, they were still in the running, and the number kept going up. Yeah, this is where I want to be. Yeah, this is where I don't think the culture supersedes the price tag. It's like you want to see it with the Godwin. You want to see it with the Cooper Kupp. You'd want to see it, say, with the Larry Turnsell. Because you know these guys can make an absolute difference in holes that are needed. I didn't know there was such a glaring hole that Milton Williams is supposed to save a lot of things, and I'm not sure if that's the case. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line still to come. I just got some information of tonight's Celtics game. There is a surprise on the who's available and who's not available. That's still to come, but right now it's time to trend.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And here's what's trending now on EEI and EEI.com. And do you want that big news now, KJ? Or you want me to
Yeah, you stayed. I kept it a secret. Yeah, you're still here, man.
I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
If the unicorn's back, I'm staying. You know,
there's the surprise. Way to kill the tease. Yes.
Okay.
I should have said in 3 minutes, right? In 3 minutes, I will tell you.
Okay. Well, people don't know who that is. Celtics, by the way, in action tonight. So are the Bruins. 7 o'clock face-off. Celtics, 6 p.m. down in Brooklyn. Revs are in Brooklyn. Well, no, I think they're in the Bronx. That game is at Yankee Stadium. NYCFC, 7:30. Red Sox fell today in Grapefruit League action at JetBlue, 7-3. Tristan Cass's homer. Big news, though, today. Rafael Devers and Willier Abreu came back, made their spring debuts. Here's how the Devers debut sounded.
And here comes Rafi Devers. Rafi's been working in the practice fields and in the cages. And he's all smiles, ready to go today, ready to DH, which he's doing this afternoon.
He did indeed. 0-for-3, though, facing Chris Sale. Had some tough at-bats against his former teammate.
Yeah.
Cora said after the game, KJ, that both Devers and Abreu will be back on the backfields tomorrow. Get some at-bats. They'll be back in the lineup on Monday. So
get practice on that Cupid doll that Devers has of Breslow.
NFL today, Juju Smith-Schuster is back to Kansas City, not the New England.
Jesus, thank you.
One-year deal. Falcons are keeping Kirk Cousins. A lot of people thought that was a bluff, but they are going to pay him $10 million, maybe a trade down the road.
Yeah.
NCAA hoops action going on. Alabama trailing Florida by 8 right now in the SEC semi. We'll have the Big East final coming up after KJ has done 6:30 tip period here on WEEI. Bryant University from Rhode Island punching their ticket this morning. America East champs. And that's what's trending now on EEI and EEI.com.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Joe, what made the paint so difficult to access against them? I mean, what were some of the ways their defense challenged you guys?
I thought we got great looks. I mean, our shot quality was 1.18 in real time. We're probably a little bit lower, but I thought we got amazing looks. I mean, that's just the shell of their defense. I mean, they protect the paint first. They try to get out. I thought our 2-on-1 reads were really good. So I thought we generated, relatively great looks throughout most of the game.
KJ here, WEEI, 617-779-7937. I'll get to Joe Mazzulla's comments about those good looks, the Celtics' propensity for threes, which is at 37%, which isn't bad, but how that's going to catch up with them. That's in 3 minutes. Let's get to the text line. We've been talking football here. Ken, what do you have?
All right, back to football. 978 texter, you were talking about Travis Hunter as a rookie being dangerous, and the text is, what about Chase and Higgins, productive as rookies? Why can't Hunter be that way?
Well, if you go back to what Chase was in college, and who was his quarterback? Joe Burrow. Like, I remember they had this fascinating ESPN package that was done, like in television doing packages again. That's like unheard of. But it was Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson used to do this drill where Burrow would throw a ball into a random hole. And these guys, Chase and Jefferson, for those who've seen this, probably remember this, would have to randomly be able to get their hands inside of this hole that Burrow was throwing the ball, almost not seeing the ball, but really believing the ball was going to be there. So what do you think happens once that same Ja'Marr Chase gets with that same Joe Burrow when they get to the NFL? And even with Justin Jefferson, I mean, Ken, you could be Justin Jefferson's quarterback, and this guy's going to catch all your passes. So these guys are like savants when it comes to catching the ball. They're not even in the same conversation. Travis Hunter is not in that same conversation with those two guys. Just on the simple fact of their quarterback is one of the elite quarterbacks in the league right now. That's not the situation here. This is kind of like a grow together situation. So look, do I think Travis Hunter can be a great player? Yes. It's just going to be on one side of the ball. I tend to believe it's going to be on the defensive side of the ball because he's going to have above average catch skills as a defender and have the speed to keep everybody in front of him. Coming across the middle, all he needs is one perfect to Antonio Brown hit, and suddenly he may not be the same receiver again. So that's my concern with Travis Hunter. I think if there's the thing that he's great at, it's going to be a cornerback who's going to have probably the best skills in terms of retrieving the ball in the air. Receiving, one hit can take that away. One more text.
401 text. Recalling Albert Haynesworth's contract being very heavy in incentives compared to the Milton one.
The crazy thing was, did he meet any of those incentives? Right? Like, if you have incentives and you don't meet them, you save money. But what if the player doesn't show the incentives but already has the money? Which is worse? So, again, I just listen to language, right? That, like, this is what I'm trained in. Like, even in my own home, I can tell by the way a sentence is constructed what I've done wrong. Can you? Any of us know this, because in the communications business, you're taught to hear the energy more so than the words. So the energy that I hear from Milton is just like, I just got paid. Now, as a fan, I want to hear, I cannot wait to help turn this defense around. Look, we're just going to be unstoppable. Not like, hey, there was a bidding war going on and the Patriots number kept going up. Like, this ain't crypto, bro. I'm sorry. Any more text? I'm sorry, Ken. That just frustrates me. But at least he's being honest, because then this is the place that's going to have the honest conversation with him about his play. That's what I love about New England. If you're out there sucking and you're sucking up a bunch of money that's been guaranteed for the most part, oh, bro. Living in Providence won't be far enough.
Well, one more here. 508 yeah. Texture. What year is Belichick going to stop being blamed? 2050?
Well, I don't mean, well, you got something young in your life like that. He might live to 2010. He might live to 2090. Look, nothing of this is Belichick's fault. I don't think there's anything I say is Belichick's fault. I don't think that's been on this show. Have I said this in the past? probably. But remember, if Belichick made this comment last year on the Pat McAfee show last season, I really feel bad, especially for those guys on the defensive side of the ball. Well, this new regime is pretty much replacing guys on the defensive side of the ball. Like, these guys they're getting, they're not just getting support guys. If anything, the offensive line, and I don't want to butcher his last name, the guy that's coming over from, I think it's Arizona. I don't want to butcher his last name. But he's a support defensive guy. You know, Moses, maybe you're starting right tackle, could be support, but right now anything on the offensive line is open. The other offensive line, you got that support as well. We're not talking about this is going to be the game changer. But the guys you're getting on defense are the guys you're like, we're paying for these guys to be the man. So if Bill felt really bad for those guys on defense, then A, he's telling you that the defense wasn't bad. And B, what we're seeing right now, they're saying, well, clearly the defense needs a lot of improvement. Keep the text coming in, 617-779-7937. So Ken, I'm here till 6, but I'll get paid to midnight, correct?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah, okay. Celtics. If you just missed trending, the key is Kristaps Porzingis is available. Doesn't mean he's playing, but he is available. Jaylen Brown's available. Horford's out. Derek White's out. Tatum is available against the Nets. So here's what I saw in the Oklahoma City game, and I'm going to look past Jaylen Brown's struggles, but they did seem very similar to those. Boy, remember those early times when they just tricked the Celtics into dribbling to the middle of the paint and turnover. Jaylen Brown kind of had one of those games. But this is what Oklahoma City has done. It's worked. Cleveland has done it. And it doesn't make the Celtics necessarily change what they do. It just makes them run into doing what they're not great at doing, which is going to the hole. They're not great at going to the hole. You can see flashes of it, but they're not great going to the hole. What they're great at is shooting the threes. So what did I notice Oklahoma City doing? They're pushing the zone further out. So instead of your standard top two people at the top of the key defending and starting your defense from there, they're now starting those two guys defending at the top, almost right at the three-point line. It's like a 2-3, so spread extended. So when Mazzulla, in the clip that you just heard maybe about 4 minutes ago, saying, well, you know, they had good looks, I was just like, not really. They were getting pushed off of their spots. So when you know that Tatum's spot is elbow extended three-point line on both sides, that's where he likes to take the shot. Oklahoma City's like, hey, take it up the middle. We must be seeing some metrics that you're not really hitting them from the top of the three-point area. Oh, by the way, you don't have size to go get rebounds like that on the offensive side. Luke Kornet, God bless him, but Luke Kornet is not part of the offensive game plan. Never has been, never will be. But he's needed more than ever with a team like Cleveland. And again, Milwaukee, I think, long in the tooth. I'll do NBA crypto here in about 20 minutes. But Milwaukee's starting to get long in the tooth in terms of age. Their size are guys that are mostly not really defenders in the typical sense of defenders. The Knicks, look, they just look really good on paper, but as soon as you just introduce wind or fire, they crumble. So their size that they have really isn't effective. But Cleveland is that team, and if you say, hey, you get down to a Eastern Conference Finals, if all things considered right now, the way things shake out, you know, it would be Cleveland and the Celtics. You would say, okay, anything can happen in a 7-game series. But let's just say the Celtics don't shoot their average 37%. Let's say they don't even shoot as bad as they did against Oklahoma City the other night, but let's just say it drops down to 35%. Now the Celtics have a problem. Now you might be like, KJ, that's only 2%. Well, when you're taking like 100 shots a game, it starts to add up. So if you're the Celtics and you're getting pushed off your spot and you're missing these long threes, and you, God bless Al Horford, but I mean, this is a guy that he really should file for like in-person workers' comp, because every season we say, hey, at some point the workload needs to come off of Al's shoulders so much. If you've ever seen the meme where early on there's Al Horford is the big Ninja Turtle, and he's carrying the younger Ninja Turtles of Tatum and Brown. And then last year, Al was the carry. It's back to Al carrying a little. It really is. Here's the other thing that's teams I think are figuring out about the Celtics. Who's the Celtics' top rebounder? It's Jason Tatum. Well, if he's the top rebounder, then guess where he's not when the ball's rebounded? He's not on the wing with the ability to run. I think Tatum's most effective if someone's able to snatch rebounds other than him on a consistency, it allows Tatum to get to run out and therefore not always have to stand from 25 feet out chucking him up. I figured, I was like, you know what? This may be the reason why Tatum is not translating into being the face of the NBA, which he should be. I mean, gosh, he's not 40. You know, like it's still LeBron and Steph. Like, these are guys who've been in the league 14, 15 years plus. Here's Tatum, half of that, always been in the mix of things. But I think part of it is kind of like, a guy like that should not just be a three-point shooter. Like, Steph Curry was really made for the small man in the world, right? If you're 5'10", you can visualize yourself as Steph Curry. But damn, if you're 6'8 and built like a gazelle, you should be able to fly. And you just haven't seen that much of that. So, in a seven-game series, right? Let's just lay out what a seven-game series with Cleveland would look like. First of all, it starts off on the road. Now, I've said this before here on the station. One of the indices that have me worry less about the Celtics this year and what's going on is their road record, right? Because what that says is Pritchard and Hauser and Cornette, these guys are getting things done on the road. Usually, your role players are great at home, count nothing for them on the road. That's been a bit different. But I think with Cleveland, before they got DeAndre Hunter, my thought was, okay, Cleveland will win this. They win the size battle. They win the interior battle. Donovan Mitchell can't always be the guy trying to get you an outside shot. Garland can go 1 for 48 in a game. That could happen. But now they have outside shooting with Hunter. Strus has come back from his injury. So now they have guys who can hit key shots during a game, not named Mitchell or Mobley or Allen in the paint. I don't know if I can say that with the Celtics beyond Pritchard. Look, Hauser, great. His head shaved. He had a great game. It was against Portland. The Celtics literally would have to go up 2-0 on the road against Cleveland to be able to say, all right, if we have a bad shooting night at home, okay, fine. That's just one night. We've won two in Cleveland. But let's say they lose the first two in Cleveland. Now they step into the narrative of, uh-oh, this is a team that has clearly lost games at home. And have lost the games at home, sometimes when they should have won them, other times where they were really never in it. You don't want that to be the playoff scenario. And if you're coming home down 2-0, then what you saw in the Oklahoma City game would be the nightmare scenario in a game three at home in the Eastern Conference Finals, which is, they extend out that area and they start missing the threes. And then what do? They start trying to force it into the paint, right into the size. And next thing you know, they're off and running on the other side of the court. Look, Oklahoma City, SGA is a cheat code. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing because he's an undersized guy that does things that most people in the league don't do. You know what that is? Take two-point shots. He takes two-point shot. He takes the mid-range. He wins the mid-range game. And when that happens, it allows for other guys to get the offensive rebounds. It allows guys to be active. Collapsing defenses will allow for someone to hit the occasional outside shot. Now, in NBA crypto, in about 15 minutes, I'll tell you why Oklahoma City, I still think, will have a problem getting out of the West. Not saying that they won't, but they will. There is a challenge that does exist for them. But for the Celtics, yeah, if the MO is, hey, man, if these outside threes from, instead of shooting them from 23 comfortably, you start shooting them from 26 and you're not missing and they're not dropping for you, and now you're going to try and run to the paint. Like, that's the other thing. I've said this when I've seen this happen with the Celtics. Don't think that the refs are going to bail you out for your missed three-pointers. Don't think they're going to bail you out. Like, this team has just too much size, length, and strength. Like, Jaylen Brown is a massive 2-3 hybrid. He's huge. Why is he not taking people down to the post more? they're forcing the Celtics to make some of those early mistakes that we saw, trying to dribble down the middle into the teeth of the defense, turnovers. Jrue Holiday, he's just going to have to be a savior, but as each year goes on, Jrue Holiday is getting older, injuries catching up. This is a hard player. And then the Kristaps Porzingis. If all this time he's been off, and we don't know exactly what it is, and it probably kind of goes a little into HIPAA, who knows? Just could be really rest or what have it. The team is okay with it. That's fine. But what if he breaks down in the playoffs? And what if it happens the way it happened last season, except for him not showing up for the NBA Finals in Game 1 and changing the whole series around? Because you know what happened to him after Game 1, right? He went right back on that injured list. I don't know if this team has that flexibility to just be able to just turn it on. You know, the history of the NBA shows that as champions are born, it does show like this kind of pattern of resistance that they had to go through. Like, you almost forget, like, the Celtics played Cleveland last year in the playoffs because Cleveland, they got lucky that one game. And everything else was just kind of like, phew. Donovan Mitchell was out. Jared Allen was out. Donovan Mitchell went out. Jared Allen was never part of it. They didn't have all the pieces they had in place. But you can look through the history, whether it's the Bulls, even if you go back to the Celtics when they had to get over the 76ers to become the great team of the 80s, what the Lakers had to overcome, what Sacramento was never able to do getting past the Lakers. Lakers had to get past Phoenix, San Antonio. They had to put things together to get past the champions, but eventually they did. The nightmare scenario is that the Celtics die by the three. You hear the term, you live by the three, you die by. What happens when you die by the three in the Eastern Conference Finals? What is that? What's the narrative here? They took too many damn three-pointers trying to be Steph Curry. And I would agree. What do you want Jason Tatum to be? You're chasing Steph's record, making all these threes? Or developing, trying to be a dominant to-the-rim guy? And we've seen flashes of it. Ken, I know you've talked to me some time over the years about my parody songs. There's no parody song today. But if you remember back when J.J. Redick had the podcast and Tatum was on there, and Tatum was kind of like his stats. And the song was to the Wu-Tang Clan, Shame on Jason Tatum for crying about the same Jason Tatum, which was, okay, you're chasing stats, but you might be the best guy to take it to Embiid to his chest if that's who you want to be. I think that's going to come up again. Where now the next argument is, okay, he's not chasing stats. This guy's literally chasing being the face of the NBA and getting another championship. Because if he gets another championship and he's not the face of the NBA, somebody at the NBA needs to be fired in the marketing department. How do you not? I don't know if people saw the ratings for Lakers Celtics. You know, one of the reasons why so many people watch it is because, watch this, it was the Celtics in there. Like, what are we doing, NBA? You can, whether you want Boston to be the villain, that's happened plenty of times, or you want them to be the new hero, that would be an interesting twist. You have two players, probably, I would say, the greatest homegrown duo, like in terms of drafted to that team. It's in there with the Jordan Pippen conversation. Now, I'm not saying they're Jordan and Pippen, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about two guys drafted by the same, staying with the same team and creating something together. Watch this, something you don't see in the NBA today. Homegrown stars for one of the two legendary franchises. Yeah, it's really great that you have, what was it, Oklahoma City, Denver was on last Sunday? I can care less how dominant they are in the West. Gosh, quick, what time is it right now in the Mountain Time Zone? That's my point. The Celtics should be the face of the league, and part of that is you can't try and be Golden State East. Dominate. Do things that make people go, wow. That's what made basketball fascinating. Guys out there doing things that you couldn't do in your backyard and your insurance wouldn't cover. Steph Curry came along and said, I can be that guy who's 5'6" and have dreams of being in the NBA. Sure, his shot's still going to get swatted if he tries out. But still, I give that little man hope. It's not to pick on people below 6 feet, but ask a woman how tall she likes a man. Never does the number five start. But Tatum, with his size and his speed and his agility, needs to be going to the paint more often earlier than shooting the three. Like, it's great. It goes down. Production results, that's what it's about. Can you produce results? And I ask this. Do you believe the Celtics can average a 40% three-point percentage for an entire playoff season series with Cleveland? Where Cleveland easily could probably shoot 55% from two the whole series. I don't know if the Celtics could be able to average closer to 40 to offset the offensive rebounds. I mean, goodness, after this Nets game, they've got the Kings. Remember when Sabonis was here? What was that, 18 rebounds? 19 rebounds? Those are the things in the playoffs that will say, this is why you lost the game. All right, next, we'll do NBA crypto. And then don't forget, coming up at 6:30, we've got your coverage of the Big East Finals between St. John's and Creighton here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thanks so much for hanging out.
We're back. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Yeah. KJ WEEI. I feel like I have a corn pipe in my hand. Turn it up a little, Zach.
I decline to walk the line. They tell me that I'm lazy.
I am lazy. I work like 2.5 hours. I talk sports. They pay me. It's a blessing. You missed any of the show, remember the Odyssey app is free. Plus, you can always listen to WEEI on your Alexa device. Say, hey, Alexa, play WEEI Sports Radio Boston or WEEI FM Boston. It'll bring you right here. So just thank you for any of the time you've spent here. So now I got Zach Coe in as my producer. Zach, it was a pleasure having our boss, Ken Laird. You know, I talked a little bit about leadership, and sometimes leaders lead from behind and not always in the front. And what a way, because I'll tell you right now, there would have been some random just outside the station who have been working at least for an hour. We'll just get your paperwork settled on Monday. I'll get you paid. Just don't stand at the dunks around the corner. You know, dunks around the corner, it's a little seedy. I was just saying to people outside of it. So I would have been grabbing someone from the dunks around the corner who's hanging outside. I mean, we're right there at the edge of Austin. Someone's hanging outside. Just come in and work until Zach gets here. But that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I'm surprised Ken did Would You Rather more likely to either or with me. It's kind of fun. It reminds me that maybe I am not that close to being fired. I think that's something that Ken should randomly do one every weekend. Travis Thomas, boom. Ken is your producer for like an hour. I don't know, but could you handle that? Like your boss working right over you?
Quite the performance review.
Like, exactly. Why you keep moving that pen while I'm doing my work, damn it? You know, like, can you wait until I'm finished? Like, one job I had, this is no lie. I could say where it was. He wasn't, you know, he had become part of the boss. He'd become part of the boss structure. And would walk into the studio almost after every on-air break I did. And I got to the point where I was like, can this wait until I'm done? Like, please. Like, but some point, this is what's cool about Ken. There is not an intimidation factor that goes on with it. Like, just do your job. Do the best that you can. Don't change anything. Don't feel like you have to be suddenly something different, because it'll come across and then the product suffers. So I really appreciate Ken being here. All right. Now that he's gone, I think we can really have fun. I'm kidding. So, Zach, you probably know that recently my daughter got married, right? This is within the last month.
Yes.
And so this is kind of how petty I am, but I think you can enjoy this being a younger guy. I don't want to say, how can I use the word friends? Because you tell someone, hey, I'm friends with my ex on social media. To younger people, that's no big deal. To older people, they're like, oh, my God, how can you still be friends? Like, you make it seem like we're on the chat. Well, it's not even anything like that. We're friends. You're friends. It, really, honestly, so that way, if anything ever disastrous happens to you, I would know, you know, but I did kind of get a victory, because the one who, and this is just for, you know, for the younger listening sake who are in dating situations, if you ever feel like you're about to get a ring from somebody and you're just going to just go do it, like you're willing to, let's just say you could go to Marshall's and get a wedding ring. Would you tell her that you got it from Marshall's?
No.
Okay. So imagine you're like, you know, I'm just going through this. Marshall's has, I can get a ring somewhere here in Marshall's. It's just got to fit, right? That is not the person you want to end up marrying, right? If you feel that way, that you could just step into any type of box retail store and get what's supposed to be a lifelong heirloom, do not marry that person. This is what I learned with one of my exes. So when my daughter got married, she liked the picture of the two of them married because she would remember her when she was a kid. And I was thinking, isn't that amazing? That affair you chose to have has paid back so bad that my kid has gotten married before you have. Is that petty? Is that a little petticoat junction there? Is that petty?
No, because that's exactly why you stay friends with your exes on social media to see how much better you're doing than them.
It was like when she hit that like button, it was like, so tell me how that actualization pie felt when you realized that those other guys who since me have said they would marry you and chose not to do it, and your hairline is receding, and you're damn near, I won't say the age, and now you see the kid who you used to help, you know, that used to run around, is getting married before you have, and you still think someone's marrying you? Double click that like for me there. Like it again. No kidding. That's a bit petty, isn't it? But that was interesting. Some of my ex-girlfriends had liked the picture of my child getting married. And so some of them was just like, yeah, this is really a celebration. But that one that came through from this one particular was just like, damn, you're drinking some doubles tonight. Think about like, damn, KJ's little girl's been, has gotten married before me. Let's go ahead and play NBA crypto. Looking around the NBA, who to buy, who to sell, who to hold. Hit it, Zach.
Bang, zoom, gonna be in the moon.
I'm $1. Such a bastard. Hey,
$1.
$1.
$1. You're
selling, Mortimer.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
That's her. Turn those machines back on. Let me look 20 again. I'm sorry. All right. The way NBA crypto works is just the way that it works now. Well, it did until about 2 months ago. Believe in a team where they are, buy. Don't believe in a team if you think there's a declining value, sell. And if you think they're just right, you hold them diamond hands. Unless we create a meme coin before 6:15 when I'm out of here. Zach, we can rug pull for $40 million. All right, let's go to the Western Conference. Start at 11 where the Phoenix Suns are 5 games below 500. They've got one of the highest payrolls in the league. I'm buying them being all fired by the end of this year. That is such a disaster. I'm buying the Suns at they're not even making the play-in tournament. A bit of a sad story, though. At 10, the Mavericks, they have dropped. They were on the rise the last time I played this, but down goes Anthony Davis. Down goes Kyrie Irving. Down goes the fans. Gone is Luka Doncic. I think getting rid of Luka was the right move because once we get to the Lakers, it'll explain. But actually, I'm going to sell the Mavericks being at 10. I think they just flip spots with the Suns. I think it's just both bad for both of them.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
All right, the Kings at 9 are kind of a weird team, right? They're 500, but they've made some key moves. They just don't have a point guard, and that's going to catch up with them. But I'm going to buy I would say hold the Kings at 9 because at 9, they could upset some things in the play-in playoff. So diamond hands the Kings at 9. I mean, it's the only thing in Sacramento worth holding in your hands. The Clippers are at 8. 6-4 their last 10. 15-20 on the road. Yeah. The Clippers are just very weird. But at the 8 spot, I'm going to buy them holding on right there at that edge as the 8th team in the Western Conference. Look, if you told me that the Timberwolves were 10 games above 500, I was like, really? But yeah, they are. They've won 7 in a row. They're getting right hot at the time. They need to. 8 out of their last 10. They've won 20 out of 35 games on the road. The Timberwolves are dangerous. I like them to even go higher, so I'm buying the the Timberwolves on the move. Hey, the Warriors have really turned it around. Jimmy Butler does wonders. But again, their size, I just wonder, like, you know, look, you get to play the Spurs and the Pelicans and and Trailblazers. Those games count towards wins. I just don't know if the Warriors have the proper size to deal with all these monsters in the West. But I'm going to hold on the Warriors at 6 right now just because at one point they were at 11, so they've made a tremendous stride, plus they've won 6 in a row. Those diamond hands are probably Draymond Green tackling Jaylen Brown again. At 5, the Lakers, who have been slipping, they've lost 4 in a row. They've won 6 of their last 10, but that means they've lost 4 of their last 4. No LeBron means Luka by himself is like what we saw in the NBA playoffs. So I'm going to sell the Lakers even at 5, because if LeBron doesn't come back, watch out for the Warriors and Timberwolves who are right behind him. So I'm going to sell the Lakers at 5.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
All right, at one point during the show today, I said the Lakers, the Celtics should not lose a game for the rest of the month except for one. It could be against the number 4 team in the West, the Grizzlies. A little bit of slippage. They're average 5-5 in their last 10, but they have been tremendous at home, 24-11. They've got the second most wins at home in the West. I like them at 4. I think they've settled right at where they're going to be. I'd hold them. At 3, the Rockets, they've won 5 in a row. There's a part of me that wonders, like, okay, if you're the Rockets, if you made a deal for Kevin Durant, would you be in a better position now? But I'm thinking, like, what's the difference between 1, 2, and 3? You're still going to see the Thunder somewhere. But I'm going to buy the Rockets getting to that number 2 spot. They're only a game behind Denver. I'm going to buy the Rockets. And after that, I'm going to buy NBA drink, and we're going to hit the town. I'm kidding. The Nuggets are at number 2, but to me, this is the most underwhelming number 2 team in all of basketball. I'm selling the Nuggets at 2 because after Jokic, Jamal Murray can disappear. Michael Porter Jr., I think his brother's name is Kevin, from Missouri. Porter Jr., Brown is kind of an overachiever, an over-indexer. Russell Westbrook just kind of gives you energy, but nothing really spectacular. I'm going to sell the Nuggets at number 2 because of me buying the Rockets at 3. So I'm selling the Nuggets at 2.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
Hours ago, the Thunder are at 1. They've won 8 of 10. We saw what they can do at the Garden. They're 25-7 on the road. Like, they're just as good at home virtually as they are on the road. But so look, I'm gonna say hold the Thunder at 1. But if you see the T-Wolves at 8, that is going to be a fast. That's the team that the Thunder really have to watch out for, because they've got size, they've got bulk, they've also got a superstar who can do it from in and out, Anthony Edwards. So I like the Thunder at 1, but I also wonder if the Timberwolves finish at 8 and play them in the opening round, Thunder in the opening round, it could be the upset of the season. All right, in the Eastern Conference, we'll do this quick. Let's start with the Heat, because that's who the Celtics just are about to see here pretty soon. They're at 9. They've lost 6 in a row. They're struggling. They're 8 games under 500. Yeah, sell them.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
The Magic at 8. They've won 3 of their last 10. Sell them.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
This shows you how bad the East is. Sell the Hawks, too. What are we doing here?
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
So literally, the East is 6 teams. The Pistons, very dangerous team, especially to the Knicks. If they face the Knicks in an opening round, I'm going to buy the Pistons at 6. This is a team that I could see race their way possibly to the top 4. But I'd also have to say the same about the Pacers. Well, no, with the Pacers, look, they've won 2 in a row. But they are underwater on the road, and that's not going to bode well going. So I'm going to sell the Pacers at 5.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
The Bucks are even worse on the road. They're 3 games under .500 on the road. I know once Bobby Portis Jr. is finally back and in the saddle, things would probably get a little bit better. But I'm going to sell the Bucks at 4. This is crazy.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
The Knicks at 3? Yeah, they're just the Knicks. I mean, there's nothing special about these guys, really, honestly.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
So now we get to the final two. The question is, are the Celtics at 2 or do you buy them as the Eastern Conference champions? So as the Eastern Conference champions, I'm selling the Celtics.
Turn those machines back on!
That's hard to say.
Turn those machines back on!
It's diamond hands for the Cavs, man. They've won 16 in a row. That's absolutely sick. They're the Celtics kryptonite, I'm sorry. And that is NBA crypto. We'll talk Red Sox. Raffy Devers next. Plus, we'll get you ready for college basketball. Finals between St. John's and Creighton. Big East final in 15 minutes here on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
And here comes Raffy Devers. Raffy's been working in the practice fields and in the cages. And he's all smiles, ready to go today, ready to DH, which he's doing this afternoon.
WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out. It's KJ. Again, we're minutes away from the coverage of Westwood One and the Big East final between St. John's, Rick Pitino, and his Kentucky Fried Chicken, don't totally kidding, against Creighton. Watch out for St. John's. Like, I know March Madness really kind of kicks off next Thursday, I think it is. Brackets come out tomorrow. I guess if there's some sleepers that I will put out there because people know my work with now the BetMGM network from time to time. And trust me, I don't do it as often as people most people think. Like, when I'm not here, I'm not also there. The two can be mutually exclusive. Alabama, St. John's are your two biggest sleepers. Alabama and St. John's, watch out. Alabama, they've been there. Like, they were there last year and virtually the same team. And Rick Pitino is going to win. He can win you 2 games. Now, he had a problem winning 12 games here, but he's going to win 2 games in the college, in that college tournament. He's going to win a crucial game and has the talent potentially take him to the Final Four. So if who makes the Final Four, I think St. John's is like 16-1 to win the national championship. That's something I would look at. You know, the SEC is a monster. Auburn lost today to Tennessee. If Alabama gets out of this game today, I don't know what the score is, but if they get out of this
game. Alabama just lost.
They just lost to Florida.
Yeah, 102-86 or something like that.
Yeah, so they're laying in wait. Yeah, Alabama may be they probably will end up like with a 2 seed. They might be the lowest 2 seed. Maybe a 3. Either they're going to be the highest 3 or the lowest 2. Alabama is probably the most dangerous team in the tournament. They've been battle-tested. But 2 straight weekends, they had to hit buzzer-beating shots. Like, phew, watch out. Yeah, Raffy Devers back again today as the DH. Then he's going to be hitting from the cages, according to Alex Cora, after the game. We'll be back in the cages tomorrow, him and Abreu. So, it's like watching the groundhog come out on February 2nd. Look, Devers has no control in this situation, but if Bregman starts slow, which has been his pattern over the last 3 years, it gives him cover to start slow. Like, Devers doesn't have that pressure now to start off the season hot. You'd be like, why ain't you hitting? Well, it's an adjustment period for him. Why isn't Bregman hitting? Well, because Bregman doesn't typically start off exactly hot to start the season. Bregman is, he's Heatmeister in July and August, and that's what the Red Sox need, because when they've fallen apart, it's been in those latter months, June. If they've been in it in July, they fall apart late July, early August. Bregman has historically shown that that's not going to happen, at least with his bat. But Raffy, if he starts off slow, if he comes out the gate hitting 210 as the DH, what if Yoshida outperforms him as the DH? Do you platoon him and Yoshida at DH? I hope it gets solved quicker. And then look, if Bregman has an incredible season, Bregman's going to go get his $50 million a year from somebody else and have them commit to multiple years. And then guess what? Raffy's now your third baseman again. You think Raffy's going to be calling his friends? Come play for the Red Sox, my fellow Dominican Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He ain't coming. You think he's going to sell folks on this? They'll be able to talk to David Ortiz, be like, no, I want to talk to Rafi. So there's no more rolling out David Ortiz and Pedro Martinez to get the word out. They're going to want to talk to Rafi after what just happened to him. So that'll be interesting that it plays out, but the pitching looks good. Can't deny that. I just hope that Bayo is able to really accept the challenge of, there are guys in front of you and you need to step up because you're not seen as the forever 3-4 starter in this rotation. And then Lucas Giolito, let's just say I think the Red Sox are going to be able to cash out on that. You hope for the best, but we haven't even got to the start line, and we're kind of having some of those same whispers as last year. So the defense looks good. Brea looks good. I don't think it'll be interesting. I think there's a chance that Campbell is going to be the opening day second baseman. I think because when he wasn't hitting, it was an easy answer. More work. Now he's starting to hit a little bit. You're like, this is a consideration. But there's part of me still pulling for David Hamilton. Like, get those steals in, bro. And how about Bill Belichick? Are you seeing these pictures that are popping up? Is this guy potentially engaged? People laughed at me months ago when I said he's not going back to the NFL. How often does a 72-year-old guy get a 20-something girlfriend who's just enamored to spend time with him, who isn't going to ask a bunch of football questions or wonder why they treat you a certain way? They're just happy to be around you. And there's Bill doing plyometrics on the beach with his 22-year-old girlfriend. Maybe she's 23 now. Yeah, Bill's going to end up marrying that. It's going to be the story. It's going to be a reality TV show. And all those who took that discipline of Belichick so to heart. It's amazing how you can make an easy way to a man's stomach. It's not just by meals alone. Zach, bro, thank you so much for your work today as well. Ken Laird doing the production as well. I'll be back again next Sunday morning here on WEEI. Yes, back-to-back weeks. Big East basketball next here on WEEI. See ya!